In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
On this episode of Crown Jewels,
we have a property war on our hands. Who will win their place in Royal Lodge?
An inside source says that Harry would be welcomed back with open arms, just without Meghan.
And who squandered Princess Eugenie and Beatrice's chance at working with the royals?
We are back with another episode of Crown Jewels, the elite podcast for the royally obsessed, presented by Betches Media. I'm Lex Nico.
And I'm Samantha Bush. And today, I mean, guys, we have so much to discuss, but also I'm side-eyeing my co-host right now.
Okay.
Because Lex, okay, I drink out of my Stanley tumbler like the basic bitch I am every single day. And Lex is like very like tapped into like influencer culture, like trends. And she looked at me and she goes, "What's this cup you're drinking out of?"
I'm
shocked.
I did it. Okay, I told you, I've seen the cup, but I was like, I don't know what it is. And then suddenly, like, you had it. My girlfriend just got one in Toronto.
It's like an iconic tumbler, you know?
And like, I think this may be like I'm sure I can like go on TikTok and do an investigation here, but I'm feeling very
They're all over TikTok.
Geriatric millennial right now because I have my little Starbucks cup. I am so in the, like, dark ages at this point.
Yeah,
do I need one of these
tumbler
cups?
Yeah, the Stanley, I mean, can come in any color. It's so heavy. It's amazing.
But it's 40 ounces. Wow. This is only 24.
Oh, yeah, you'll be paying.
You know?
You'll be paying.
I know, but that must be so good for your health. You're fully hydrated.
I'm just a healthy queen, you know, health conscious.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
But no, this is great. I guess I'm going to get one, but like, am I? Do I need
you are.
It? It's expensive, you are. Though. I just looked on Amazon. It's $53.
It's worth every penny. I love it.
This
is not
gosh.
An ad.
This is not an ad. Mm-hmm. This is just sheer interest and influencing.
Mm-hmm.
You're
just
influencing
casual influencing.
Me. There we go. Mm-hmm. Now, Sam, last Friday in Detroit, our girl Taylor performed.
Oh my God.
Tell me about your experience.
Okay. I am not like a diehard Swiftie. Like, I'm not someone who, you know, does the like whole Reddit thread. Like, I don't follow like
the Easter
every
eggs.
Single thing. Yeah, the Easter eggs. Like, if I come across, you know, a tweet about it, I'm interested, but I don't like seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I love her music. And I've never seen her live before. So I was like, this is so exciting. And it was the best concert I've ever been to because everyone is so happy to be there. Everyone is so dressed up and like they're looking so girly and cute. And it's just like a celebration of girlhood, kind of. Like it just feels like really wholesome. And I saw so many dads there with their little girls, and it was like so sweet. And then I saw this little girl. She was sitting like two rows in front of us, and obviously we got there so early.
Of course.
Like we were like 2 hours
early. Take it all
in. Yeah, we had to because I wanted to like see everything, like everyone. And there was this little girl sitting in front of us. She was probably 6, and she was trading friendship bracelets with other like teenage girls, and like everyone was being so nice. And then I've discovered that Flava Flav is a Swiftie, like diehard
Swiftie. Oh my gosh.
He was in
the
celeb tent.
The stack of bracelets and his I Knew You Were Trouble t-shirt.
I Knew You Were Trouble shirt. He, I guess, was at the People's Choice Awards and he's like a huge Swiftie. Like he loves Taylor Swift.
Okay.
And he was wearing his clock and it was set to midnight. And
no.
He was like, I'm here to support Taylor. And like, all he wanted was to meet Taylor. Like, that's what he would tell every reporter. Like, he would tell everybody, like, that's all I want to do is meet Taylor. And he met her.
Stop.
And so he has a restaurant, I think, in Detroit, like in a suburb of Detroit. And so he's here all the time. Like, all the time.
And is he from, I'm assuming he's like Detroit born and raised?
He's from New York.
No.
I'm like, I don't know. We've like adopted him into like our city.
Okay.
So he was in the celeb tent. You know, other people get, you know, like Blake Lively. Yes. They get, you know,
Aaron Rodgers.
We get Flavor Flav. It's very Detroit of us. And he was there like having the time of his fucking life. He was like trading friendship bracelets. Like,
yes.
One of them said Swifty on it. Like, I was truly so thrilled for him. And I was also thrilled that I learned something new, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do love like when you see all the clips of the celebrities, like there is an infectious quality to this tour because like to see like Aaron Rodgers and Miles Teller, and yes, Miles was in a music video with her and his wife, but like they're like rocking out, singing.
Everyone's having fun.
The song.
Everyone's having so much fun. I met a very nice girl. She was, follows Bravo Historian, and she like came up to me and I was like, oh my God, we were chatting and she was like, I'm 8 months pregnant. And I'm like, girl, how are you going to do this? She was like, I don't know, but I'm
standing
doing it
for 3.5 hours. Oh my gosh.
Well, oh my God. I mean, I made the dumbest decision of my life and decided to wear like heeled boots.
No,
I swear to God, Lex, and this is not an exaggeration, I felt dizzy and like I was going to throw up after because my feet hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, how does Taylor do this? How the fuck
is she
doing this? She is
performing in those high boots, dancing, flipping around.
Night like, after night, traveling on the road, like stamina like I've never seen.
I have no
idea. Running around.
My feet were hurting too. The dogs were barking. The dogs were barking by the end of that show.
The dogs were barking. I took my shoes off in the Uber.
Good.
So sorry.
Smart. There you go.
Sorry. Had to. Anyway, so how was your weekend?
Oh, my weekend was very chill. I'm home now. I'm chilling. It's so nice. I've been working out, cooking at home, protecting my peace. It's a beautiful thing.
I love that. I love like getting into like a routine.
I am a Virgo. A routine is my love language. I am obsessed with getting in a routine.
Yeah. Like I identify more as a Sagittarius most of the time because I have so much Sag in my chart.
Really?
So much. It's like really crazy.
But you're a Scorpio queen to Charles's Scorpio king.
I know, but I have a lot of Sag. Moon Sag, Rising Sag, Venus Sag. I mean,
okay, yeah, you're in it.
So I don't know if routine is usually like my forte, but I try.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I love it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sam, do you want to start us off with some royal subjects for our royal subjects?
of course. So our first tea and crumpet is there is a little bit of a royal property love triangle going on. I mean, it's the home no one wants.
Yes.
And that is Frogmore Cottage. It can't seem to find a loyal tenant.
I know. It's odd. It's like that lemon among the properties in the royal family.
Like, have you ever like seen like a business and like it's every time you see it, it's a different, like a storefront, and every time you see it, it's different, and you're like, nothing sticks there, and you're like, why? That's how I feel about Frogmore Cottage.
That is exactly what I thought as well. That's so crazy because it was like, it feels like, you know, when you like live in your town and like you grow up, you go to high school, you like come back from college and it's like always like a different convenience store. It's like a convenience store and then it's an ice cream store and then it's a Subway.
That's a bar.
Like, it's just
that's like, a bookshop. You're like, what's going
now
on?
Now you're like, what's happening? That is what's happening here. So there's a couple of things going on. There is actually a property trifecta, because the homes involved here are Royal Lodge, Adelaide College, and Frogmore College. So currently there is a fight for Royal Lodge. That is where Prince Andrew resides. It's a 30-room mansion in Windsor Great Park. And the whole thing is Charles was gifting Andrew Frogmore because he's like GTFO of Royal Lodge. Because allegedly, that property is supposed to now be given to William and Kate.
I was going to say, that has to be for them. Like, next in line. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And right now, William and Kate are at Adelaide College, which is Cottage.
Like Cottage. University?
Wow. Adelaide Cottage. They currently live there. And, you know, it's a little more charming than Royal Lodge, let's say, but not quite Frogmore. Not quite as cozy as Frogmore.
Yeah, Frogmore, you know, it's a cottage.
It's still a 5-bedroom house. So after,
and they just renovated it.
Yeah, like Harry and Meghan renovated it and made it a 5-bedroom house. So when we're calling it charming and cozy and quaint, like it's still a big house. It's just not a 30-room mega mansion that fucking Andrew refuses to abandon. But here's a fun fact. My favorite fact about Adelaide College is that it was once the home to Peter Townsend. Do you remember Peter, Margaret's lover?
Of course.
Like
Peter.
The man with the softest spot in my heart in the royal family.
I know.
Like, so that's the tea.
So he won't get the fuck out.
He won't get the fuck. He's refusing, apparently.
He's refusing. The thing that's crazy is like, imagine your ego is so fucking big that you are just turning, like, you're denying the king his wishes.
No.
And then not only that, but you're denying the future king his new home.
Yes. And like, you're just
refusing. He's demented.
And the thing that's so funny is currently in Frogmore, Eugenie and Jack are living in there with their now 2 kids. I don't know where they're going to go when Andrew has to move in. I don't know where Fergie is going to go because she lives with Andrew. So like,
can't these people get on like Zillow and like just find a house? Like, I don't understand why this is so complicated.
Well, it's crazy because we clearly know they have so much money, right? Like, they could.
But they act like they don't.
Yes.
It's very weird.
Like, they are pinching the pennies, the purse, like, you know?
It's insane. I'm like, you guys are still like royals. Royals. Yeah. You'll be fine.
And I want to be like, you're royal, start acting like it. But I'm kind of like, is this acting like it? Because we all know. We know. We've talked about this. We've talked about Charles with the pen. We've talked about the fact that it's like, they do not have a framework of being like, quote unquote, normal, rational people.
Yeah, no.
So
they do
this not. Is being royal, perhaps.
This is definitely acting up. This is definitely giving royal energy. And I'm exhausted. It's like, Frogmore is adorable. It's beautiful. I mean, it now, was it when Harry and Meghan got there? Not really.
I mean, we saw the pics. We saw, like, how it was, short it is. But, like,
which is kind of funny that, like picturing Andrew, like, shuffling around that little house.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He deserves it. And I'm sorry. It was £2.4 million. To that Harry and Meghan renovated it. That, yes, it was taxpayers' money originally, but they paid it back because they're just like, we're fucking done here. Yeah. It is a 5-bedroom house. Like, so Just shut the fuck up.
It's not like they're like, you're moving into a studio apartment.
Right.
It's like they're moving into like a beautiful cottage that has beautiful like lands around it.
I don't think Andrew would know what to do with a studio apartment.
I mean, I barely knew what to do with a studio apartment. Like,
oops.
Studio living is like a whole other animal. Like, it, especially if you, I don't know how you can do it and work from home. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel so bad for people who have to do that because it's just like so, like for me it would be so hard to separate like your space. Yes.
I think that's what would be hard, right? Again, for me, like having that separation of like a door for your bedroom. And like I lived in an apartment in Toronto that was basically a studio, but there was like a farm door to at least like separate. They like built it.
Yeah.
And it was nice because I think you're right. Like separating my sleep from my workspace.
It's so
critical
important.
To my mental health.
But he
health.
Doesn't work, so but I he think he would be fine.
So he'd be fine. But you know who is working?
Who?
Charles. I got to say.
He's out here. He's out here in these streets.
Charles? Now, we've got this. I mean, this man, he's just constantly, he's like, I'm fucking king now. And like, I'm leaning in, Sheryl Sandberg, hard.
Hard.
He's doing the most. And it's like so amazing to watch. So we have Trooping the Colors coming up. And Charles.
Which I love Trooping the Color.
I love.
I love it.
I love the fashion. I love the pomp. I love the celebration. Yes. But like he will be partaking this year as Sovereign, arriving to Trooping the Colors on horseback. He's taking that horse down the Old Town Road.
I'm obsessed.
I know.
You know that video, like that audio where it's like, it's Michelle Obama actually, where she's like, girl, you've done it again. You're constantly raising the bar for us all. That's how I feel about Charles. I'm like, look at him go. Like, he's really out here on a horse.
On a horse.
Trooping the color.
Yep.
I'm
he's doing
for.
It. It hasn't been done he's for working. Over 30 years. Yeah. So Queen Elizabeth did it in 1986. And that was the last time anybody rode in on horseback. And Charles said, it's my year, girl. We back. Mm-hmm. Tradition is alive and well.
Do we know why she stopped doing that? I feel like I've tried to like look up why,
I
mean, she stopped doing it in 1986.
Yes. And I have no idea, to be honest. That's a question I would love to find the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we could find it. But Charles is bringing it back.
Yeah. And Prince Harry's probably not attending.
No, I don't think this is something I just don't think this is something he'd come back for.
No.
So there is a note here saying members of the British royal family travel by horse-drawn carriage or on horseback. So the king will lead the procession to Buckingham Palace and take another salute from the dais. Charles will then lead the members of the royal family out on the palace balcony, and then they'll have the sweeping finale with the Royal Air Force swooping the sky with the colorful fly pass. And then there will be a 41-gun salute from nearby Green Park. Wow. Yeah. I love it.
Okay. I do have to say, I need, like, I think just coming out of, like, Vanderpump Rules and the Scandoval, like, I need a royal scandal.
Oh.
Not involving Harry. Like, I want something new. Like, I want something scandalous. Like, I'm ready to sink my teeth into it.
I did see an article come up talking about Kate and Rose Hanbury and like why they're not, like after the coronation, something happened. And apparently they've reconnected despite past tension and rumors since the coronation.
If I see pictures of them together, I will scream.
I mean, that sucks for Kate. Like, it sucks having to be the quote-unquote bigger person.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when you're married to William, which we didn't really talk about this last week, but when they were at the wedding, like, these two do not seem into each other at all.
Yeah. The tension
feels palpable. They don't walk next to each other.
Palpable.
They don't hold hands. Like, nothing.
Yeah.
They don't even look at each other.
I know.
It's weird.
And it's like, I feel like they do it. Again, this is my personal opinion. This is not rooted in any fact.
Okay.
I feel like they do it because it's like they want to be under the guise of being formal and like respecting the royal legalities, if you will.
Mm.
But I just think that they you know, are in an era of just not liking each other. They're busy. They got kids. They probably don't have time to connect. They're the youngest working royals in the family.
Yeah. And they're like 40. I know. That's so crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so. Well, you know, I'm excited to see Charles on a horse.
Same. And I want to know what sort of like wardrobe he's going to be in.
Oh, he's going to be flashy.
Flashy.
Flashy. So our next tea and crumpet is the fact that Harry, a source says that Harry would be welcomed back into the royal family, but only if Meghan's out of the picture. So per OK, Bond, who is a royal commentator, says, I think that Harry without Meghan would be forgiven and welcomed back into the royal fold in the fullness of time. It's unlikely at the moment, but like the door is open in the future. And I feel I agree. I don't necessarily agree with the whole like if Meghan's not around situation. I do just think like time heals all. And like if they get enough time, I think that they could all kind of move forward. Right? Hopefully. Or do you think Meghan will have to be out of the picture?
I think a couple of things came up in this article, right? So Princess Diana's former butler, Paul Burrell, also said it's only a matter of time before Meghan and Harry part ways, aka that they separate or divorce, which would lead to an eventual reconciliation with King Charles and Prince William. And he says, I have no doubt that when this happens, because we all know it will happen, when it does happen, he'll return to the UK. And I think his father, the king, and his brother, the Prince of Wales, will both greet him back into the country with open arms. I'm actually like the odd person out here. Like, I don't fucking see them separating or divorcing at all. I will obviously eat my words if they do. But I also have said, I think I said this last week or a couple of weeks ago, like, there will come an intersection point in time where Harry and Meghan's star is, you know, not as bright, or they're looking to beef it up again or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we know the working royals are dwindling at the moment, and they will both need each other.
Yeah.
And they will have to have some sort of reconciliation, whether it's superficial or not, mm-hmm. and like a business agreement of sorts, where they will be welcomed back into the fold. Mm-hmm. I do feel very passionate about that. But the thing that I will caveat that with is I think that has to happen while Charles is alive. I don't know
for sure.
Once Charles passes, William would share the same sentiment.
Well, that's probably what Charles's like life goal is right now, like while he's king, is to get the band back together in as cordial of a way as possible. Like, I don't think they're going to be, you know, besties again or ever, but to have everybody come together, maybe have Harry and Meghan spend more time in the UK. I don't know. But I do think that that is something that's really important to him while he's king, because once William takes over, like, I just don't see that reconciliation happening. Mm-hmm. I do find it interesting to go off of what something else Paul Burrell said, was that he goes, there is an element of Harry we all love. We just don't understand why he's doing what he's doing at the moment. And for some reason, that's like really resonating with me. I don't know why, because it's like, I do think that that's true. Like, I think everyone in the UK like loves Harry.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, they're just like, why are you fucking doing this?
Yeah.
Like, why are you going to this extreme length? Like, what is the end goal here?
And I mean, we know that like he wants the hate to stop toward him, especially toward Meg and their family.
Of course.
And yes, it is a lot. But again, with this previous butler of Diana's, I'm like,
He's always in the mix.
He's always in the mix. He has like the biggest he's like the biggest gossiper in the royal family. Mm-hmm. And it
Brimsley
is just
would
like
never.
Brimsley would never.
Never.
Ever. But like, I hear what you're saying. It's like, why is he going to this extreme? Why is he going to this length? And it's like, I don't know. I feel like it could be two things. It's like, he feels like he has to, or he's literally like Regina George, papers of the burn book in the middle of the hallway, standing arms crossed. And like, he's avenging, you know, his situation, his mother's death. you know, all of the racial bullshit that Meghan and him went through. Like, mm-hmm. I just feel like he's like giving zero fucks and probably like, I do feel this way based on, you know, both experience and what we've seen historically with Harry and Meghan. I don't feel like they are the type of couple that like, if their team and advisors were like, don't do that, and they wanted to do it, that they would listen to their advisors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they think they know best.
Well, Lex, are you ready to make it rain?
Oh, yes. I am very ready to make it rain today. And let me tell you why. Because, let's get into this week's rant. Sources claim that Andrew and Fergie have squandered any chance of Eugenie and Beatrice having a larger role within the royal family. And I wrote it here in the notes, and I mean this so truly. Fucking duh. Like, mm-hmm. What? Of course. So royal commentator Kinsey Schofield went as far to say that Andrew and Fergie have squandered their daughter's chances. She told Express that Beatrice and Eugenie can become whatever they want outside of the royal family, but their parents have squandered any hope of the girls elevating themselves within the fold. And I mean, I hate to say it because like, I don't know if it was like Will's and Kate's wedding and their fascinators and it was giving like Cinderella's like evil stepsisters.
Yeah.
But like, I had this like negative notion when I was younger about the two of them that they were like
so did I.
Jealous and mean. But I really think it was just an association with Disney and not based on fact
that
at
was
all.
Like, that took over. Like, yes. I mean, because they showed up like looking nuts. It was giving evil stepsister energy. Like, it was just really.
No, like the side by sides with the cartoons and not like visually, not their face. I'm not saying they're ugly or anything because I actually think they're both beautiful, but like, it was the fascinators and the outfits and the colors.
And like, yeah.
It was identical. Just, yeah, their stylist did them like, dirty.
It was like the first like royal wedding for a lot of people since obviously, yeah, for us. So it was like, it was giving Cinderella, like, you know, she was a commoner marrying a prince. Like it was like that kind of vibe. So that kind of fit the narrative there. But what's interesting to me is like, what else would these women be doing?
Raising their families, charity work.
I know, but like for like a job. Like it's like, you know, Fergie and Andrew have squandered their chances, but they can be whatever they want to be outside of this. It's like, well, they've kind of like, this is their brand.
Yep.
They're kind of like royals and it's their brand, but they get like, I mean, they obviously get perks for being royals, but they're not working royals, which I feel like that's going to backfire on
the royal family.
Charles. Yeah, yes. The royal family.
Agreed. I mean, the only thing, I don't know why this came to mind, but I feel like this is what socialites working. Do. Like, start a jewelry line.
100%. A jewelry line or like a skincare line.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Like lotions and potions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. But
ethically sourced gold. Or something.
is like Omid wrote this in 2022 that King Charles's monarchy is too slim. So let Beatrice and Eugenie do engagements, right? Like it is just and
well,
we know.
They're already kind of around all the time anyways, I feel like.
Right.
Like I feel like I see them all the time. Like so the fact that they're not working royals is very bizarre.
I mean, I get that like Fergie and Andrew, they are out. You've been chopped. But, you know,
pack your
Countess Sophie
go.
Does engagements. Princess Anne, obviously, hardest working person in the royal family. Mm-hmm. So, like, why can't they do a few low-key engagements? Why can't they just, like, you know, get in there? I feel like people would actually welcome that. Like, I would be interested in seeing that. I know Eugenie just had a baby, but, you know, once she gets that on lock and tempered and, you know... You know what I mean? Like when she gets her routine in, like
for sure. When she gets that baby on,
get them going. There are not that many royals to carry this stuff out.
No, and I feel like they don't ever. You never really see them with their parents. Mm-mm. So I don't. So I feel like they've kind of kept a really good distance from them in the public eye, where you don't really. I don't actually associate them with their parents at all. I mean, sometimes I do, I guess, but I feel like they could really do some good. And I mean, they're going to need people on the payroll. There's no one.
There's no one. And again, Charles is talking about this like young, modern monarchy. Like these two, they're pretty young and modern, you know? Like they give me, oh my God, like Made in Chelsea era vibes. Like
very much.
So why not let them do some engagements? Why not let them do some walkabouts with Wills and Kate or like Kate, you know, like Eugenie, Beatrice, Kate, they're all young mothers. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Get it together. Who's running the PR at Buckingham Palace? Call us.
Yeah. Well, you know who I like really has really bad vibes?
Who?
Princess Sophie.
Oh, Countess Sophie? Let's not give her a princess title.
Excuse me.
I mean, isn't she like kind of racist as all hell toward Meghan?
Yeah. Like she gives me really bad vibes. Like I see photos like she's always like being really snarky, like being really bitchy. I'm like, get Eugenie and Beatrice in here. We need some fun, nice girlies. I'm sick of Princess Countess Sophie.
I know.
I don't know. I just have bad
vibes. I have bad vibes from her.
Yeah.
I fully agree. But also, I'm pretty sure we've also heard a lot of racist claims about her.
Have you?
Yes. Like, let's Google while we're here.
Because I'm thinking of the statement she made after the royal police escort hit a woman.
Oh, yes.
So it's not funny. But so Sophie is praying. It says on People magazine that Sophie's praying for a woman who was injured by police motorcycle that was part of her royal escort. And then it says the Duchess's heartfelt thoughts and prayers are with the injured lady and her family. She's grateful for the swift response by the emergency services and will keep abreast of developments. Like, why the fuck are you not at the hospital?
Right.
I would be like, I am so sorry. My team fucking hit you with their car.
Didn't she just carry on with her life? No. I'm pretty sure. Didn't she just.
Like, it's insane.
Carry on. Like, she didn't really acknowledge it.
No. She had her team put out a statement. Yeah, like, she's a bad, bad vibe.
The woman died. People magazine, woman 81 dies after being struck by motorcycle escorting Sophie, Duchess of Edinburgh.
You're fucking lying.
I'm dead serious.
Oh.
I'm reading this People magazine.
My God. I didn't know she died.
Neither did I.
Did she attend the funeral? Probably not.
No. No.
Oh,
she had suffered irreversible brain damage following the collision and had fought for her life for nearly 2 weeks before the battle finally ended. He added that his mother had been using the safe route of a pedestrian crossing when the motorcycle struck her. Mother of four, grandmother of 10, and great-grandmother of 7.
81.
Yeah,
she fucking did was put out a statement.
Yes, they were deeply saddened. Her Royal Highness's deepest condolences and sympathies go to all of Miss Holland's family. It's giving Queen Charlotte sorrows and prayers. Sorrows and prayers.
I mean, I'm sick. The police watchdog organization is still investigating the crash.
Good.
As they fucking should. This woman died.
I didn't realize that either. I thought she was like in the hospital.
Yeah, like I thought she was in the hospital. I mean, she get hit by a motorcycle. She's my spotted dick. I can already tell you that right now. Yikes.
Yeah, she's jumping.
She gets really bad vibes. For good reason.
Like, truly.
She's my spotted dick. I can already tell you that right now.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Okay.
Not to jump ahead. Spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Countess
I love that
Sophie.
It's like Sophie breaks silence. It's like, no, she fucking doesn't. Her team broke their silence.
The like worst part about it is like she probably didn't even touch that press release or statement at all.
No.
You know, like she probably didn't even give it the one over.
Mm-mm. Of course,
I get that vibe.
Yeah, and I'm reading here that she discredited Oprah. It's like, really, bitch.
What?
Oprah. Yeah, it was after their interview they did. She said, "Edward tried to brush aside the question with his Oprah who."
Okay.
Are they serious?
I think they are, but again, I think they are. The self-awareness, like, it's not there. You know,
it doesn't exist.
It just doesn't exist.
So this is what she said about Oprah. You know, Lord. If you're not into chat shows, there's no reason why you should know who she is. Certainly not in this country anyway.
Be fucking for real right
That's
now.
That's like very, very loaded with like racial undertones, in my opinion.
You don't know who she is, especially in this country. She's Oprah fucking Winfrey.
And she's not just like a talk show host. She's like Oprah.
Like, I will summarize it like this, okay? The fact that I know who like Graham Norton is, and I don't get that. Like, I don't know. I don't watch that show, but it's like, I know him. Mm-hmm. Most people, like my mom would know him. My dad would know him. They're not in the pop culture world. Like, of fucking course everybody knows who Oprah is.
Like, you could go to any country, any city, and be like, who's Oprah? I'd be like, do you know who Oprah is? And everyone would say yes.
And even if they don't know who she is, quote unquote, they've heard of her. Anyway, wow. Making a case for Spotted Dick.
Yeah, I mean, she fucking sucks. I can't believe that woman died. I'm still reeling.
I know.
May she rest.
May she rest. It's time for our favorite game of Mail or Fail. One of these is a real headline from the Daily Mail or a similar publication, and the other has been completely made up by our producers. Will we spot the mail or will we fail? Bex?
Okay, so we have option number one. Exclusive. Duke and Duchess hire new assistant who worked where Prince filmed bombshell interviews to promote memoir Spare. Option number two. Exclusive. Prince Harry made sure to snag courtside seats after returning home to LA 2 days after testifying in court. They both feel accurate.
I mean,
they both feel true.
But here's the thing. We've never seen Harry sit courtside. He's always in a suite and more private. So true. I'm going number one.
Okay. I'll follow your lead.
Okay.
Because that made sense. And you're correct. Revolving door at Harry and Meghan's Archewell spins yet again as Duke and Duchess hire a new assistant who worked at 2000. Am I okay? Like, 2600 a night. Oh my God, I'm so stupid. $2,600 a night, Montecito Ranch, where Prince filmed bombshell interviews to promote memoir Spare. Well, there we go again.
The door is revolving. So the marketing director at an exclusive hotel around the corner from Meghan and Harry's mansion where Audrey Hepburn, Winston Churchill, and JFK were guests is their new office chief, Mail Online can reveal today. Wow. Harrison Colcord worked at the San Ysidro Ranch where rooms are about $2,655 to $4,000 a night. And the Duke of Sussex did his Sussex did his incendiary TV interviews with Anderson Cooper and Tom Bradby to promote Spare. Okay.
Wow. How the fuck do you get that job?
I mean,
how do you start as like a marketing director at a hotel and then now you're working as an assistant? I feel like that's kind of a step down. Am I crazy?
I think it could be two things, right? Like, she's director of sales and marketing. This is like a very small niche boutique property, this hotel. Okay. And it's like a lot of celebrities go there. Like, what are their names? Courtney and Travis will like go there for a weekend all of the time. So if she is like a director in sales of marketing, I think what could be interesting in her shifting over into this office chief would be like, it's probably not like that like big of a job, quote unquote, because she doesn't really need to really market or promote it in the sense that so many celebrities go there and people want to go stay there. But she probably does have to do a lot of sales for like weddings or events or things like that. But it's probably not much of like a hard sell. And when they give her this title, Director of Sales and Marketing, it probably is like she's a team of one or two, you know, like she's not managing a full team. So I bet shifting over to this office chief and like, you know, being comfortable around celebrities, managing a schedule, managing an itinerary, planning, things like that. Like, I feel like there could be similarities between these two roles and possibly her, like, salary range is pretty comparable.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like working at that hotel, like you said, it has really good publicity in the sense that it, like, a lot of celebrities go there, but it's not somewhere where it's like over publicized, if you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying. Like, it's very discreet, very rich luxury. I mean, I hate the term quiet luxury. So I will not be using that.
I hate it.
Oh my God. When people were describing Sophia Richie's wedding as quiet luxury, I was like, can you please fucking shut up?
Yeah.
It's not quiet luxury. It's literally just wealth, sweetie.
Exactly.
Just wealth.
Or how she bagged a man.
Yeah. They were like, look, she's really lovely. I mean, she looks the exact same. She was just 19.
Correct.
When she was dating Scott. Also, I feel like, I mean, this is a hard left, but I do just have to get this off my chest really quick now that we're talking about it. I do feel like Sophia Richie kind of like fell off after her wedding. Like, no one really cares about her anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was a big thing, but
I mean, it was huge.
Also, like, what is she doing? She actually has, she's a creative director of Nude Sticks, but like, also, she doesn't really have to work. Her dad's fucking Lionel Richie. Like,
yeah. And her husband and is a son of a billionaire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Her husband's dad is the CEO, I think, or like,
and you know
chief
what? I don't need
Universal.
Her to work.
No.
Yeah. Like, I don't need her to work. I'm good.
Also, I didn't know her husband was British.
I had
until
no idea.
Her TikToks.
I know.
At all. I had never even heard him speak.
I know. I had no clue. She converted.
Yeah. Yeah.
For him. I was it's like, love. Oh, cute.
It's love, baby.
It's love. Well, Lex, to finish up, I mean, spoiler from earlier, let's name our spotted dick for the episode. Who has been a real steamed pudding this week?
You know what? I'm just going to let you take it away.
Okay. Obviously, Sophia the wench is the spotted
Sophie,
dick.
Sophie, not to be confused with
Sophie. Oh,
Sophie.
Sophie, sorry. We're just talking Sophia Richie. It's on the brain. Sophie. I mean, I clocked it. Ever since Meghan and Harry's documentary came out in December, and Meghan said in the documentary, like, we all don't wear the same color. And I remember, like, seeing Sophie in pictures with Kate and her wearing the same color as Kate on, like, multiple occasions. I was just like, you are just such a bitch. Like, you're just trying to get back at Meghan. I just know that their personalities, like, would clash.
Yes.
She just gives really bad, stanky vibes. And the fact that her police escort killed a woman, and she's like, not even, I haven't seen photos or heard anything about this woman going to like a funeral or the hospital,
visiting the family. Making a donation.
Nothing.
No.
Oh my God. It's like, it's honestly making me sick.
Yeah. It's pretty like bold. You know what I mean?
It's gross. It's giving Andrew vibes.
Yeah. Sum it up as a person. And like, there was also that rumor when Meghan left the royal family that like Sophie was like so happy she didn't have to curtsy to her anymore and da 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 da. And it's just like, fuck off.
And being like, we don't watch chat shows, so we don't know Oprah. It's like, babe.
Yeah.
Please. No one knows Agreed. Who the fuck you are either. Unless they only know because you were married to your husband.
That's the best way to end it. And I fully agree with you. And thank you for your service.
You're welcome. Well, you guys, that's it for this week's episode of Crown Jewels. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
We'll have new episodes every single Thursday, so be sure to subscribe now so you don't miss our next episode. Tell all of your royally obsessed friends and follow me at Lex Nico.
And follow me at Bravo Historian. And until next time,
may God save the bitch.
Betches.